Hibbard comes home. The pitch swung on and missed. The throw to second is in time. It's a strike him out, throw him out.
Kick it out left corner. DeAndre wide open for three. He hit it again.
Raider going deep over the middle. Caught. Rucker across midfield, and he's going to take it all the way to the house. 79 yards.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast, the A-State podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, A-State Athletics has a new athletic director. We'll talk about the new hire and everything concerning that. Also, the football schedule continues to take shape. Many of the game times have come out, along with some of the network information. We'll go through that list. Also, several track and field athletes are headed to nationals. We'll give you the list of all those who qualified at the West prelims this past week in College Station. But today we're going to spend most of our time talking men's hoops, as we're excited to be joined by A-State assistant coach Hayden Sowers. How you doing, coach?
I'm great. I'm glad we got some sunshine finally, you know, a little out, get to enjoy the outdoors here. But grateful to be here. Appreciate you guys having me.
I promise it doesn't rain this much all the time.
Well, I went from West Texas, which is no rain for 5 years I was there, to here, which is continual rain for five straight weeks.
I've never seen anything like it. No. But, yeah, hopefully we've got a little bit past that. You've been really, really busy. You've been trying to build an entire roster, and I do want to talk about that coming up. But as much as anything today, this is a chance to kind of get to know you, and we want to hear your story. And you mentioned off the air just a moment ago, you were talking about Tupelo, Mississippi. That's where you're from, right?
I am. I was born actually in Stamford, Connecticut. I lived there for 10 years, and my dad got a new job in Mississippi, and they still live there in Tupelo. I guess that's 25 years they've been there. They love it there. I love it there. I love the Southeast. This is more my neck of the woods, so I'm excited to get back closer to them. My whole family's from there, and they're excited to get up here and get to some games. My mom and dad actually were able to come to the press conference, which was cool.
So, man, as a 10-year-old, that's not a small move.
Danford, huge
Connecticut
move.
To Tupelo. What do you remember about that?
Not much. I remember the snow. We went from snow to no snow. Now, my father was working in New York City every day, and he went from working in New York City to Boonville, Mississippi. So he would probably have better stories for you and thoughts on that subject.
Man, that's as big of a culture shock as you can get, I bet. But tell us about your parents, your family.
Great people, my entire family, great people. My wife, Jasmine Sowers now, excuse me. She's actually en route now. They're excited to be here. Got a brother, a sister, big extended family, all sports people. The best thing about my family is they treat each job I'm at like it's their favorite team. So my family has already spent probably north of $1,000 in the online bookstore, gear store, wherever it is, and
they're all in.
They're ready to roll. Wolves up.
How'd you get into basketball?
I started at Ole Miss as an accounting major, and then I decided I didn't want to do that. So then I decided I was going to go to law school, and then I decided I didn't want to do that. And then just by happen chance, my third year at Ole Miss, I met one of the assistant coaches by the name of Sergio Rocco.
Yeah, former FIU head coach.
Yes, former. I believe he was the head coach there before came to Ole Miss. You know, we just got to know each other. I coached his son in Little League. I volunteered for the Little League team there. And at the end of our season, he said, man, why don't you come up and see if this is kind of a profession you want to get into? And that was in maybe mid-February, early February. And I started just kind of as a volunteer manager. And then at the end of May, all of the graduate assistants departed for better jobs. And I would just kind of got stuck as the only guy there in the office. And they just came down one day and said, look, man, you're in charge of the team camp for us this summer. Get to work. And I was kind of shocked. I was like, really? Like, all right, here we go. And I think we got the most teams there ever in the history of Ole Miss team camp. Very prideful in that.
Well, you should be. That's
and,
a big deal.
They just kind of offered me a GA spot there at the end of the summer, and I took it and ran with it. I mean, it's really a unique story. You know, had I not volunteered, my mother convinced me to do it just to take up my time and give back to the community for that Little League team, I probably would not be sitting right here with you guys.
Hmm. Now, before you get to Ole Miss, we're talking one time, you being from Tupelo, you mentioned that, I mean, you knew of Alex Carrington.
Absolutely.
A-State
absolutely.
Remember.
Yep. I don't remember much about him. I know the name. Me and Darius were talking about him in my time here before I went to St. Lucia. And I remember he wore number 30, and he could really, really hit you. Really, really hit you, which it sounds like he continued to do here.
He did that a lot around here. Yeah. He was Defensive Player of the Year in the Sun Belt Conference. But, good people come from Tupelo. So, okay, I want to kind of backtrack a little bit. Coaching was never on your radar until this GA opportunity at Ole Miss.
Correct, correct. You know, a lot of coaches, their fathers are, you know, they're in the profession. My dad's not. He was an accountant. I love sports now, and I've loved sports my entire life, specifically basketball. You're correct. It never really crossed my mind, you know. And then when I got that volunteer opportunity there, you know, I got really, really lucky to meet Sergio. And then I knew within 48 hours of being at the Ole Miss facility every day, being around everybody, coaches, players, support staff, that that was what I wanted to do. So while it wasn't on my radar, so to speak, I knew instantly that this was what I wanted to do right when I stepped foot in that facility for the first time.
Now, Andy Kennedy was the head coach
Correct.
Then, and he's had one heck of a career. How instrumental was he?
Huge, huge. You know, AK, what he does that not a lot of other coaches do, he knows and takes care of the GAs. You know, he, like a lot of head coaches at the high major Division I level, they don't even know the GAs' names a lot of times. But he gave me a lot of responsibilities that impacted winning, which I think earned his respect. Him and Bill Armstrong, who's now the head coach at McNeese, were very, very instrumental in me sitting here right now.
So you said you didn't know, but it took about 48 hours to find out. What was it in those 48 hours that said, hey, this is my deal here?
Just everything about it. I mean, I love every side of it, from the relationships, the people, you know, just the competitiveness, and then the game of basketball. You know, that's really, I don't want to get down the line, but I've connected so much with Coach Pannone just because of his love of the game of basketball. Coaches get in it for different reasons, and me and him have connected on solely on the love of the game of basketball. And that's what the main thing was. When I stepped into that practice facility, I was looking around, and we hit that first practice, and I knew instantly, just this is what I wanted to do.
Are you as much of a film junkie as Coach Pannone is?
Absolutely not. I don't think anybody in the world is. I don't think I'm on the – I think I'm about 2% of his capability so far. But I am learning. I'm trying to learn. I mean, it is amazing the film knowledge that him and our support staff guys have here from just live coding practices to in games. I mean, it's really, really cool.
All right, so you leave Ole Miss after getting experience as a GA. And you spend a couple of years coaching prep ball.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to the junior college level, spend 4 years at Pearl River, and then 4 years at South Plains College, which is one of the top JUCO programs in the country. The last three of those seasons, you were the head coach there. So the thing that's kind of at the top of the press release when you were announced that just blew me away, you've coached 10 years total. And 95 of your players have gone to play Division I basketball. That's quite a number.
It is. When me and Caleb were talking, like I went back and started thinking about some of the players that I have been around, and it's just, I mean, it's a really good number. Obviously, I don't do anything to miraculously make them Division I players. I've been really, really fortunate to be around a lot of really, really, really good players from Rasir Bolton, Tyrese Martin, who we had at Massanutten, who's on his second contract in the NBA, all the way down to, we had another commitment today, signee today from my South Plains team previous, and everybody in between. They're all good players. They all bought in, and just being around that collection of talent through those years has helped me better understand how to impact guys here at Arkansas State.
So you get put in charge of the team camp. You get a record number of teams. You go out and start recruiting your own teams. Every guy practically gets to the Division I level. Why is that? Like this, eventually, I think it's all going to kind of spin down to relationships. So what about you makes you good at that part?
I truly think about it 24/7. You know, there's not a second that goes by in the day that I'm not thinking about how can we improve our players' careers and lives. You just change job titles so that job and responsibility looks different. But if you truly care and you truly invest, most importantly, your time into them, then they will fight and play for you, which makes everybody successful. So at the junior college level, if you do that for them and they play and fight for you and play well and you win, then they move on to Division I. Because not all those guys had fantastic stats, and a lot of them didn't even average double figures in junior college. But they won and played together, which they in turn got the reward to go Division I.
How much does that time over the last 10 years, whether it be on the JUCO or the prep level, help you now as you prepare to be a Division I coach?
This is the most time-consuming level that I've been at, so it has prepared me. You know, the attention to detail, the amount of time you have to invest in the individual player. It goes back to, I don't really consider this a job. There's nothing negative to me in my mind that I think about when my job is to coach basketball, you know, and invest in players. So it just kind of comes naturally and organically. You know, to me, there's not really a formula, you know, but you have to invest in the player as a person and a player, and then they become successful, in my opinion.
All right, before we get out of this JUCO chapter and kind of talk about this, you know, just like I had to go back and mention Alex Carrington, another kind of 6 degrees of separation from Arkansas State, because I know you would cross paths with Angelina College down there. In fact, you guys played them in the postseason, the quarterfinals, if I remember right. J.J. Montgomery's the coach there. Great player at Arkansas State. So tell us the J.J. Montgomery story.
He is one of the best coaches in the junior college level right now. Angelina has not normally been a junior college name, and the job he did with his team this year was fantastic. You know, they beat us earlier in the season, and I didn't realize a guy came up and introduced himself to me after the press conference and was telling me that, you know, J.J. is in Arkansas State. I mean, from what I gather, he was a heck of a player,
yep,
too. A heck of a player.
Yeah.
I know he was Angelina's all-time leading scorer, I think. He looks like he could still play. He looks physically like he could still go out there and get 28 a night. But I don't know him great, but I really respect his ability to get his team to do and play the way he wanted them to play.
After last season, I'm really interested to hear how you got to Arkansas State, because Coach Pannone was in here and he kind of told the story from his perspective, but you don't hear about this very often. Usually when you're hiring a staff, you're going to go with somebody that you already know really well. And in Coach Pannone's case, he actually got a recommendation from Brian Hodson, who was on his way to South Florida, and says to Coach Pannone, hey, you need to hire Hayden Sowers. So a couple of things. I want to hear about your relationship with Brian Hodson, and tell me about that first conversation with Coach Pannone.
So I got to know Brian. You know, he did a stop in our junior college league at Midland, I believe, and he came out when I was an assistant at South Plains and was recruiting some of our guys, and I just got to know him. We just built a relationship. I think me and him are on the same career path. We have the same type of ability to recruit, relate to players, get the best out of players. Now, how I got here, I would say, is in the coaching profession is really, really, really unheard of. So I was on the way back from Hutch, which is our national tournament. We lost in the Final Four. I was not in the best of moods because we played awful and still had a chance to win. And because I invest so much over the course of the season into the team and the success of the team, at the end of the season, I normally like to take a week just away from everything, decompress, which as the head coach in junior college, you can do that because recruiting does not start right away. And I was telling my wife on the way back from Kansas, like, how we just really needed this. You know, I needed this break. Looking forward to kind of recharging, so to speak. I said, pick some things that you and Elena want to do around here that we haven't done, and let's try to knock some of these things out. over the course of the next week. And, of course, she was excited. You know, her and Elena were both excited. They were picking out different things to do. So we go to bed, and the next morning, my phone rings, and it's Brian. To be truthfully honest, he was recruiting a player at South Plains. Him and T. Butters had stopped by our practice at the Region 5 tournament in Waco, and I thought that's what it was about. I answer the phone, and in true Brian fashion, he dominated the first 45 seconds to a minute and a half of the conversation, and it just caught me all off guard with what he was saying and how he was saying it. And I said, slow down. Repeat everything you just said again, right? Because it caught me off guard.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that just doesn't happen. And he said, basically, he repeated what the story that now is out public is. He had connected with Pannone and recommended me and told me that Pannone was going to call me. Bama had just lost to Duke the day before or 2 days before, and they were flying back, and he was going to land in Tuscaloosa. It had already been announced that he got the job, I believe. I'm not sure. So he drove here, and Pannone called me, and we talked for 2.5-3 hours on the ride, and he said, all right, you know, I'm going to meet with some people tonight, and I'll give you a call back. So I'm sitting here thinking, all right, that was a good first step, right? Like, let's continue to build the relationship. We're going to continue to talk for, you know, a day to weeks, and hopefully he offers me a job, which I still, in the back of my mind, just being truthfully honest, because of my experience in the coaching profession, I told Jasmine, I said, I trust Brian and his word, but this is just so unheard of. Like, somebody offering you a job that you have never even spoke to.
Yeah, because even in Hodson's case, I mean, he brought two of his best friends, right? Yeah. It's T. Butters and Jamie Quarles, guys he'd known forever. That's kind of the way that goes.
So Pannone calls me at midnight, and I'm getting ready for, like, all right, what if he asked me this? What if he asked me this? And he says, all right, I'm going to offer you a job. Why don't you fly out here tomorrow and let's get to work? I was like, absolutely. Let's pick out a flight.
And all this happened over how long of a span? This is
12
hours. Day?
12 hours.
Wow.
So I get off the phone. I'm excited. I go in there and tell my – she's now wife. She was not my wife at the time. She was excited, but she did perk up and say, you realize that we have to legally get married before we go to St. Lucia for our ceremony, and if you leave tomorrow, we're not going to be able to do that. So I did have to push the departure date back one day, and we had to run up to the courthouse, and we got legally married, and I got on a jet the next day and came out here to Arkansas. We got to work immediately because of probably what we're going to talk about here in just a second, which was recruiting our roster.
And I go back to the previous staff. I'm not telling anything people didn't know. Coach Hodson, bread and butter, his reputation was hinged on his recruiting ability. And so everybody kind of knew that his staff, like he said from the get-go, in the interview process, you're the guys going to bring to my X's and O's guys. This is sort of in reverse. Coach Pannone is a renowned X's and O's guy. So talk about this dynamic of what we have seen the last 2 years, but just kind of the roles being reversed a little bit.
I will say this about Coach Pannone's X's and O's ability. I had heard that obviously everybody you call, I mean, elite, it is one step more than elite. I mean, it is world renowned. Some of the stuff that he is teaching specifically on the offensive end is something that fans should really be excited about. As it relates to me, you know, there were some challenges because you don't really know what kind of player he wants to coach. For example, you think that everybody's got to be able to shoot threes, right? Everybody's going to be able to shoot for in his offense. And me and him are sitting there one night just talking, right? And I just asked him out of curiosity, like, does everybody have to be able to shoot that we recruit? And he said, absolutely not. And he gets up on the board and he starts drawing out all the cutting schemes. And just so then that triggered me to then think about a former player of mine by the name of Jalen Hampton, who's probably the best cutter that I've ever coached. And we got on the phone with him, got him on a visit, and signed him that weekend. But to answer your question, it's more common in Division I basketball to be this way, where the head coach is elite at X's and O's and the assistants are really good at recruiting. But the combination of everything, I really feel excited about. And Coach did an exceptional job recruiting this team. You know, he's not just an X's and O's coach. He really, really, really did a great job recruiting like an assistant on this initial class.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same. You first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Red Wolf fans, this is Demario Davis, proud Red Wolf and linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm asking you to help out our current A-State student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our players by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. Thank you, and Wolves up.
Continuing to visit with A-State assistant coach Hayden Sowers here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. So you have the challenge of putting together a new roster, and we've been here the last couple of decades talking about me and Brad, and we've covered a lot of teams during this time. Have never seen one of our teams have an offseason where you had to put together a 100% completely new roster, 100% turnover. So you talk about what you're looking for in these players, but just the process of bringing in an entirely new team, what's this been like these last few weeks and months?
So I'll say from the start, it wasn't super new to me, because in junior college every year you lose 95 to 98 to 100% of your roster. Obviously, the Division I level, it's very, very rare. With the transfer portal and all that, how Division I basketball is morphing into, it did make it a tad bit easier, but it was still an absolute grind. You show up, and not to mention, you got to hire a whole staff too. And everybody is new, from players to coaches to managers. We just hit the ground running. You know, recruiting is not an exact science. It's really not. You know, there's not a playbook that you can put on the wall or into a book and say, this is how it's done. You just have to work, and you have to work really hard, and you have to call hundreds of people to find the right people that fit for the head coach that you're working for and his system. And I got on the plane, like we mentioned, and got here, and we just immediately got to work. And Coach is an extremely hard worker. So we sat in his office probably for a week straight and just watched film after film after film after film after film after film. And we just talked through. Even if he did not like the player, he still talked through his thought process that helped us as assistants recruit for him, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But 13 players in 6 weeks, I mean, just an absolute grind. Credit to Coach Pannone for closing it all off, getting the job done. I like our talent. I do feel like we did a really good job of putting together a basketball team.
I know we're about to get into the roster, but that just really probably more comment than question, but you raise a really good point. I mean, to me, there's never been a time at the Division I level where JUCO experience is more valuable from a coaching standpoint than right now, because in the portal era, like you were used to a roster flipping, if not every year, every two, and that's the world we live in.
Yeah. You know, even in junior college, you know, the saying, you got to get older to win, we were doing the same thing. You know, we were taking 12 transfers and 3 high school kids. So the roster turnover was very rapid, right? You had to do it basically every year, especially at a place like South Plains. And I think the transfer portal, with it being this year, I mean, I looked yesterday, there was 4,200 kids that got into the portal this year, which is 2,000 more than the previous year, which is astronomical. Mm. And to be honest, that helped us. You know, that helped us in our ability to put together a talented roster, because a decade ago, the portal's not around. You get the job, 13 new guys. Now, there might not have been 13 new guys if a decade ago, but then you're signing a majority high school kids, which is a task nowadays.
All right, so we're going to do something a little bit different here. We're going to just run through the roster, and you can give us what stands out about each player, but we'll just go through all the names here. So at least we know something about these guys that are coming in, and obviously we'll get to know much more about them as we get into the season. But one name you already mentioned, we'll start with him, Jalen Hampton, who played for you at South Plains and was most recently at Missouri State.
Probably one of the hardest playing guys I've ever been around, just as far as just energy and activity and rebounding ability. Excited for him to develop in Coach Pannone's player development system. You know, a lot of people talk about coach's offensive teaching ability, but what people don't understand is that he has a lot of experience in NBA player development. Like, he's running all of our individual skill developments. It's really, really good. So for Hamp to be able to develop his jump shot, his skill set, ability to dribble, pass, shoot, combined with how hard he plays. He's long, he's athletic, he's quick twitch. He has led us in blue-collar points through a week of practice. Just really, really hard playing. I can't tell you how many times I showed my team last year clips of Hamp at Missouri State and how hard he was playing, diving into the crowd, saving balls, extra possessions, and guys like playing with guys like that. I'm glad Hamp's here, and I think the fans will be as well.
Yeah, sounds like a guy that can easily be a fan favorite if he's throwing his body around like that. Tell us about Chandler Jackson from Florida State.
Exceptional character. Hamp as well. Our team is littered with guys that are elite human beings, exceptional character. But Chandler's a guy that has experience in the ACC. He's older, been a really good leader so far, both in recruiting and now that we've been here. Really good positional size. When you look at him, every bit of 6'5", 6'6", for a backcourt guy. Shoots it way better than his numbers probably say. And hopefully, he's been dealing with a little bit of a toe deal. Hopefully, he can clean that up. And we're really excited about Chandler's ability to dribble, break the paint, pass, play make, finish at the rim with his size. Really good player. Started 27 games at Florida State last year.
Matt Heyman from Stephen F. Austin.
Another elite human being, great character, great size. That's a kind of a theme with our roster. I only think we have one guy under 6'4". Really good with what we call positional length and size. You know, he's every bit of 6'5 and a half, 6'6", can really shoot it, plays really, really hard, ultra competitive. I just think about today's practice. They lost a free throw shooting drill, and me and him were on the side goal for half an hour. He was just shooting free throws in silence because he was so competitive. He was upset that his team had lost.
Wow.
Plays extremely hard, as I've said. Really good defender. His ability to shoot the basketball is really going to help us as well.
All right, tell us about T.J. Caldwell. He's an Ole Miss transfer.
Yeah, T.J. is really athletically gifted, really good first step, really knows how to guard, uses body, uses chest. Better shooter than everybody anticipated him being. Really gets it off good. Been working. T.J. was a guy that averaged 6 points a game both of his 2 years at Ole Miss. Was in rotation teams both years at Ole Miss. He has the ability to athletically break, we call it break the paint, which is beat his man off the dribble and get into the paint whenever he wants to. He just has to be consistent with his work ethic and his approach, and he could really have a breakthrough season for us.
All right, I'm excited so far. How about Sacramento State transfer, Chudy Diorama?
Fans are going to love Chudy. He has an electric personality, British accent, which is always fun, you know.
Sure.
Being in Jonesboro, Arkansas, I don't know how many.
I don't hear that in Tupelo very often, do you? Yeah.
Really good size, 6'10", I'd say every bit of 230, 235, can shoot, can pass, can dribble. The five position and coach's offense, we play through the big so much, dribble, pass, hit the cutters, really good skill set around the basket, touch around the basket with both hands, but just another guy with elite character, electric personality, and that's what I've been most pleasantly surprised with on our team so far is their care factor. That's what we call it, you know, their ability to get along, have great conversations with people within the program and also when we've done stuff out in the community. But Chudy is a great guy, good player. 6'10 can make a 3-2. That always helps.
Christian Harmon.
Christian was one of the best shooters in junior college last year. Made over 100 threes at 50%. which is really good. He won Panhandle Player of the Year, which outside of South Plains is league. A lot of people say West Texas, where South Plains is, and the Panhandle of Florida are the two best junior college leagues. So he won Player of the Year in the Panhandle. 6'5", 6'6", and can really shoot it. I mean, really shoot it. For him to make 100-plus threes in junior college at 50% is really, really good. Got to get him down here, get to work. Just another great kid, great work ethic, pro mindset. The fans will really, really love his ability to shoot it in, though.
All right, how about Jackson Ellingsworth? He's a UTA guy.
I was in St. Lucia when Jax took his visit, so I didn't get to spend a lot of time with him, both in the recruiting process and on his visit. But 6'9", 6'10", another guy with a great personality, ability to converse and talk with each other, can dribble, pass, and shoot at 6'9", 6'10". He's tough. He's physical. He can guard his position and finish with both hands around the basket. But his ability to shoot the basketball at the 4-5 position is really going to help us as well.
Royal Smith.
True freshman. Love the fact that Royal has come in and really battled with a bunch of guys that are 3, 4, 5 years older than him. He is ultra talented, really, really athletic for a true freshman. Can really shoot. Another great human being, 4.0 GPA in high school. Just his development process for us, we feel like he could be he is a really good player. And once he develops, both weight room wise, defensive scheme wise, he could be a steal for us in the years to come.
That's Blue, right?
Blue is his middle name.
Okay.
And Smith is his last name, but he likes Royal Blue.
Royal Blue.
So, I don't know, Caleb. We'll probably go with Royal Blue if you ask me. I think that's cooler.
Yeah, that'll be fun to say on the broadcast.
Yeah.
all right. Is it Ali Tunkara? Are we saying that right? Lindenwood transfer?
Yep. So, I can't – you know, he hasn't been here yet. He's in his home country spending time with his mother. But 7 foot. Can move, really good laterally, rim protection, quick off his feet, both offensively and defensively. Not as much of a perimeter threat as Jax or Chudy, but he is an up-and-down jumper, rim protector, ability to screen, roll, catch lobs. Those guys really, really complement each other. We anticipate Ollie's impact defensively to really help our team win.
Eastern Florida State College transfer, Freddie Salam Sila.
So quick story about Freddie. We were at South Plains. We actually played Freddie in a tournament in Idaho. He did not play great versus us, but the two games previous, I was telling my assistant at the time, I said, now that kid right there is a really, really good prospect, good player. And fast forward to now, we get to coach him. But 6'7", 6'8", really athletically gifted, long arms, long strides, quick twitch, has the ability to be an absolute force defensively with his ability to move and his length. Really more perimeter skilled than people think he is. He can dribble, pass, shoot. Just another, I mean, you could say this about all our guys, but elite character, elite kid. I'm trying to eat better. And Freddie comes from France with all these different French chocolates that he brings to everybody. They're now sitting in my office, almost gone in 2 days. So, but that just speaks to his character. I mean, he comes over and he's giving everybody gifts and just gratitude and appreciation. I mean, what an elite person.
It's also, side note, it wasn't lost to me. He said, you know, South Plains, Texas, went to Idaho to play East Florida College. I mean, that, a lot of geography there in that matchup, covering a lot of ground.
Yep. It was a heck of a trip, you know, with the flying and the busing. But it was – great cause. That tournament benefits suicide prevention. So all programs were more than happy to go to Idaho, which CSI is one of the better JUCOs in the country. It was a great tournament. And we actually played Freddie in Eastern Florida in the finals. It was a great game.
All right, just a few more here. CJ Gethers. Now, he's a high school kid, right?
Yep. Okay. NBA athlete, another great kid. Really, really shoots it well. Good positional size for a freshman. Has good strength already as a freshman. Just a guy that character-wise fits what coach is looking for and a better player than anticipated as far as his ability to play basketball. A lot of people kind of looked at him as an athlete, but he has a really, really good skill set. Ability to dribble, pass, and shoot combined with his athleticism, we feel like will be an impact guy in the Sun Belt.
Weston Honeycutt, somebody people around Jonesboro know about. Went to Westside.
Weston is really good basketball player for one. Great kid, a joy to be around. He's another one, another kid that I was gone when he took his visit, so I wasn't able to spend time with him. So I met him for the first time last weekend. Got a good personality, good sense of humor. He's funny, and he's a really good basketball player. You know, once he gets in the weight room and builds strength, he can impact winning in the Sun Belt.
The streak of having a West Side Warrior.
Yeah,
continues.
You know, we had Avery Feltz here for about 15 years.
That's what I heard.
So, last one, and again, these are the ones that have just been publicly announced, but Joey Chama, he's a San Diego transfer.
One of the better shooters that I've ever been around. Made 37 straight threes in a workout this week. Really fits our team with his ability to shoot. Really savvy playmaker off the bounce. Really good passer. And just an absolute, well, I call him sniper from deep. I mean, to make 37 straight threes in a drill, he made. We shot 200 threes after practice, me and him. I think he made 187.
What?
Fans are going to love his ability. Him and Christian Harmon can really, really, really shoot the basketball.
187 out of 200.
Hey, and the best thing is he missed five in a spot. So when we got done, I'm complimenting it. Like, I mean, that's elite. And he told me he wanted to go back to the spot. He made five and make 20 more. So just elite work ethic. Coach really did a good job recruiting guys that want to be pros and have the pro mindset, and that is a perfect example of that.
A good collection of talent, but you've been watching them for the last week in practice. How have they blended together in a short amount of time?
Really good so far, obviously, you know. And the Sun Belt, a lot of teams fans will see with the transfer portal, we are not the only team that is new. You know, I think the entire league is new, like we are. So we're really excited to battle through the league, battle through the season with these guys. Week one was great. Really excited about the character and the charisma of our guys. You know, I think the fans will love being around and getting to know these kids the best they can in the short time that they're in Jonesboro.
How would you describe these last 2 months for you personally? Because, well, I mean, if people have been listening, if they pick up, there's been, not just basketball, there's been a lot going on.
Whirlwind, but good whirlwind. Me and Jasmine got married April the 24th in St. Lucia. She is currently en route with the movers to Jonesboro. Just whirlwind, but really, really good whirlwind, both personally and professionally.
All right, so you got a busy few weeks coming up. Obviously, you got the players in, but youth and elite camps coming up later this month. People can check all the information, RyanPannonBasketballCamps.com. And at the same time, you know, we're getting to know you. How's it been getting to know the rest of this staff?
We have a really, really good staff. We put together a really, really good, talented basketball team, but Coach also did an exceptional job of putting together an elite staff. We all get along. We all hang out. We all love basketball. We all love the kids. We all bounce ideas off each other. We've got a couple of assistants that have college experience, including myself, and then we have a couple of assistants that came straight from the NBA. Coach Pannone obviously checks both boxes. And then we have coaches really analytical driven. We have some staffers that they can do more on a computer than I don't know if I'll ever even learn half the stuff that they know how to do with their mathematical formulas. But it's been really cool to learn from all these guys, you know, and get to know them. And really good staff, really good people. We've all enjoyed being around each other in the time that we've been with each other.
Well, it's been fun having you in and getting to know your story a little bit and hearing about the roster, and looking forward to seeing how it kind of all blends together here in
absolutely
a few months.
Absolutely. Look forward to seeing everybody out in November, and everybody's always welcome to stop by practice anytime.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to KavanaughCars.com.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T Club.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our programs right now. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast presented by Kavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Well, the big news coming out here in the last couple of days, the new athletic director, new vice chancellor of intercollegiate athletics at Arkansas State, Chris Pesman, who has been an AD for 7 years at the University of Houston, was there from 2017 to 2024, actually was the one that hired David Rear away from Arkansas State to Houston. I think a lot of people are excited about this hire, and we're excited to get to know him. And the fans' really first opportunity to see him is coming up Wednesday. Press conference going to be held at 11:30.
Yeah, he was the AD at his alma mater, where he played football. As you mentioned, he lured David Rear down there. So, you know, Coach Gerwig is familiar with him, and I think is really excited about that move. It helped usher them into the Big 12. Monumental move for an athletics department. So exciting time, exciting news. And yeah, look forward to everybody getting to come in and see him on Wednesday.
Football news coming out over the last few days.
Yes.
Game times and network designations are out for many of the games, and everything's locked in for the non-conference schedule now. As far as the first 4 weeks, that opening night game at home against SEMO, that'll be a 6 o'clock kickoff. And then the following week, the Arkansas game in Little Rock will kick off at 4 o'clock. So an afternoon kick, and then an afternoon kick at home the following week. And it's been a long time since we played an afternoon game in non-conference at home. And that's going to be the case for the Iowa State game, a 3 o'clock kick, and that is to accommodate ESPN2.
ESPN2, picking up the Iowa State game and coming to the vault. I'll credit, you know, our friend Chris Hodgson from KAIT. He actually, I saw him tweet out earlier this week that it's the first afternoon game in September at the vault since 2009 against Troy.
Wow, that's a really, really long time. When I think of afternoon games in September, I think of that day in Lafayette all those years ago. You knew I was going there, too.
I think about that, yeah. And this will not be that. I know people are worried about it being – people worried about the potential of it being hot, and it could be. It won't be like that.
No, that was extreme.
That was where the concourse down at Cajun Field looked like a triage unit. The band, the Cajun band, which showed up in shorts and T-shirts to begin with, in the third quarter said, screw this. And
yeah,
they
we're
just
done.
Got up and left. The band left. So this will not be that.
Yes.
I thought that was, to me, was the big surprise out of the whole deal. Obviously, we were all sitting back waiting. I mean, there's so much planning that needed to happen around, hey, what time is the Arkansas game kicking? And so we were looking forward to that. And then they slide in, by the way, the next week, you got an ESPN2 game at home. It's going to kick at 3 o'clock. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
The final non-conference game will be at Kennesaw State. That's a 5 o'clock kickoff Central time.
Yep.
6 o'clock.
And then
Eastern.
Looking to the end. I mean, how about the fact that I know we got a long way to go, but that we knew that Thursday night game at the end, November 20th, the last home game of the year. I mean, it's Thursday night for a reason. It's going to be TV, but fine. That's ESPN.
Main ESPN.
Main, yeah, big ESPN. So you got an ESPN and an ESPN2 home game. That's really, really rare. And so hopefully, our fans are making plans now to kind of, we got to put our best foot forward. Like, right, everybody used to complain about midweek games and TV games, and then they complained because we weren't in them anymore. Well, now we've won enough to get back in them. We got to put on a show on all those occasions.
Track and field, several of our athletes competed this past week at the NCAA West Prelims, that was in College Station, and a few of them have punched their tickets to Outdoor Nationals coming up June 11th and 12th in Eugene, Oregon. Our buddy Colby Eddowes had already secured a bid to compete in the decathlon. But Noah Isaiah will be joining him thanks to a ninth-place finish at prelims. That coming in the hammer throw. Bradley Gelmert finished fifth out of 48 that competed in the pole vault. He'll advance to nationals for the third time overall. Second time he's done it in the outdoor competition. And Carly Pujol has shattered her own school record again in the women's pole vault, so she's headed to nationals as well. And we know all this because a very good friend of ours does a great job letting us know about all the happenings with track and field and everything else that goes on in the sports that he covers. And unfortunately, fortunately for him, he's got another opportunity coming up. And we wanted to have him hang around and talk with us for these final couple of minutes. It's our buddy Caleb Garner, who has done a phenomenal job the last several seasons. How many years have you been at Arkansas State now?
Just finished my sixth year.
All right, so 6 years in media relations.
Jerry Scott made the fortunate decision to hire me back in 2019. So,
number one, we're going to miss you. You've done a great job in media relations and part of just an incredible staff in that department. But you're moving on.
Yeah, it was a difficult decision. I broke down crying in Jerry's office because it was such a tough decision.
Brad does that every other day.
Yeah, it's a good therapy session. No, but like you just mentioned, incredible staff. Like, I'm maybe biased in saying this, but they are the most efficient staff in the country. There are 300 something Division I staffs, and there are some that are smaller than us. There are schools that are bigger than us. I mean, I'd put us up against anybody, you know, that are twice, three times our size. But no, I have a really good opportunity still in the area, just a really good opportunity to continue educating future sports industry professionals and kind of delving into another area that I really enjoy. I mean, that's more like the education side. I mean, it was difficult, but it's a really good opportunity for me and to stick around because I met my wife in this area and it's bittersweet.
Well, it's been fun having you around. And again, you've done a great job. Give us some of your highlights the last 6 years.
Oh, man. You know,
a couple of things come to mind.
Man, road trips with Voice of the Red Wolves, Matt Stoltz.
Yeah, I knew that'd be way up the list.
You know, the first one that comes to mind is the road trip to Hattiesburg a couple years ago, the night before you had injured your eye.
Well, yeah, my daughter hit a line drive to my face.
And you were adamant that you were going to make the drive to Hattiesburg, and I offered countless times to drive, and you were like, nope, I got it. I got it. Just the relationships, the people. I mean, there's so many memorable games. I could spend 40 minutes talking about that, and I'm not going to. The electric games in Centennial Bank Stadium, you know, the Georgia State game where both teams scored them in the 50s, the 77 to whatever against Texas State, numerous basketball games, the 27-point comeback at UAB, which was incredible. Too many to count. I'll still stick around for some game days, so I'm not going totally away. But I'll also get to enjoy some games as a fan. It's going to take a while to learn how to be a fan again, because for 10 years I've been in sports information, and you can't really be much of a fan.
Yeah.
It's hard. I know my wife and I went to a National Predators game 2 years ago when the men's team was at Belmont. So we went to a Predators game the night before. I couldn't really focus. So like, I could watch the game, but I was like focusing on other things going on. And that's just something it's ingrained in you. When you know how the sausage is made, you want to know how other people make their sausage.
Yeah.
That's just how it works. You know, I've just had a lot of memories, and I'm looking forward to just continuing to watch the great things ahead at Arkansas State.
It's crazy business because, I mean, like, if you're in it, you're like, what am I thinking? Mm-hmm. And if you get out, you're like, oh, how do I get back in? You know, it is crazy. It's I get what you're dealing with.
It's insane. You know, sometimes I feel like a functioning psychopath. My wife will tell you, like, my brain does not shut off sometimes. And so I'm going to actually have a commute more than 5 minutes now. So she's like loving that because my brain will be able to turn off in the meantime. And whenever I'm home, I can be a little more present and not just thinking about content ideas or, oh, this stat's wrong or whatever, you know, just whatever random things that pop in the head.
Good luck to you, buddy. Thanks for everything over the last 6 years.
Thank y'all, man.
We'll definitely be keeping in touch. And all that time on the road, he's got no excuse not to be caught up on all his second to none podcast episodes.
That's right. I'll catch up.
Commutes. That's right.
Long time listener.
All right. Thanks to Hayden Sowers for coming in. Really, really enjoyed that visit, getting to know him a little bit. Thanks to Caleb for setting that up for us. And always appreciate everybody listening. We hope you join us again next week for our next edition of the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and the Cavanaugh Auto Group.